Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. My name is Angelina Diana. I'll be your host for this hour-long program, and I'll be joining you every fourth Thursday of the month with a lighter version of Signs of Life Radio, where we'll be interviewing people that are attracted to the work, have written books, understand the world of energy. And we hope that it will be an informative show for you tonight. This program is brought to you by Hugs from Heaven, turning loved ones' clothing into loving memories. Hugs from Heaven are pillows, blankets, shoulder wraps, and sachets, lovingly hand-sewn using the fabric from your loved one's clothing. Each Hugs is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Please visit hugsfromheaven.com. That's H-U-G-Z from heaven.com. And we thank them very much for sponsoring tonight's special program. I hope you can stay with me for this hour. We have a very interesting show. We'll be doing shortly an Ask the Medium segment where I feel honored to be able to ask your questions about mediumship and the other side. I will note that we won't be doing any readings this particular program. Every third Thursday, we do a special program called Mediums and Messages, which is hosted by Doreen Malloy. That's when the readings take place. But I'm hopeful that the small segment we do before the guest comes on called Ask the Medium can be an informative opportunity for you to ask questions if you have any. But our guest this hour, who will be shortly joining us after the break, is Police Chief John LaCrosse. He has a very interesting story. I know you have a picture in your mind when you hear the word police chief, but I assure you this hour, that picture is going to change, and it's going to be something that's really going to inspire you and hopefully give you some advice on how you can tap into your spirit, your soul, and find calmness, especially if you're someone who is missing a loved one. So I certainly hope you can stay with us for the full hour. If you do have some questions for our guests later on, or questions for me for Ask the Medium, you can call me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I will say again, I will not be doing any readings, but I would love to take your questions for Ask the Medium. We do have a few questions that were sent to us via the website. And by the way, the website, have you checked out the website? ForeverFamilyFoundation.org has a new website. It's absolutely spectacular. If you get a chance to check it out, it's very easy to navigate. A lot of information there. And I do want to remind our new listeners that we are a not-for-profit. So as you navigate through the website, and if you do find something that touches you, or you find something that really helps you, even this program, if you can consider giving, whether it be through iGive.com, which is a program where you buy your normal stuff on the website and a percentage is given to us from iGive, or if you'd like to volunteer or help us out. We are an all not-for-profit volunteer organization, and we could really use your help. We would really love to hear from you. So Ask the Medium is a segment that we're offering now, and it is simply questions that you might have about the afterlife, or maybe it might be something that you're curious about when it comes to the other side, or asking yourself questions as you've been through the healing process of trying to understand where your loved ones are. We do have a question here that actually comes from a member from the Forever Family Foundation. The question is, do mediums constantly receive information from the other side, or can they block the communication when they want to? I know when I speak to my colleagues and when clients come to us, we do get that question a lot. And I think part of understanding energy is learning to psychically protect yourself. I'm sure you've had psychic situations before where you're, or physical situations before where you're in the physical world and you feel like you're being attacked. Somebody's shaking your hand, they're smiling, but inside you kind of know that they have a bad intention. If you can learn to protect yourself from that, find ways to put yourself in a daydream-like state before you start your day and have a certain intention or walk through the day and not allow the negative energy to bother you, that's being good to yourself and psychically protecting yourself. Well, as mediums, it's a practice that we need to take every day of not being open to the other side and allowing ourselves to live our physical life so that when we go back to honoring those and being a microphone to those on the other side, we can be a clear channel for that. If we mix the two too much, we might not be as clear as we would like to be for our clients, or reversely, if we're in our physical lives trying to take care of our everyday thing, we can't concentrate on that because we're constantly hearing, seeing, and feeling from the other side. So I hope that that question answers is good for you. Our next one comes from Carla from Port Jefferson, Long Island. She says, how can you explain a person who spoke only a certain language in the physical world, but then they can communicate to a medium? That question gets asked a lot too, so I thought I would use this opportunity to answer it. And every medium has a different answer, by the way. It's only when I'm expressing this, it's my experience through the years I've been doing this. And what I have found is when I work with spirit, I don't always hear them, which would be connected to their language. Sometimes I'll feel them in my gut, or sometimes I'll see things in my mind's eye from them. So sometimes when, say, someone from another country is coming through and I don't understand the native language, I'll understand the language of love, which is the energy that they're sending through feeling and through thought. There are times I have worked, Carlo, with spirit, and I've heard names and phrases from other languages, which is quite interesting. They're not complete sentences, and I certainly can't speak that language after, but I've been able to validate interesting and unique names, which for me on a personal level makes it even more evidential because I don't know that language. Here's one more question we'll take, and then we'll be taking a short break soon. This one comes from a Facebook question from Andrea Hillman, and she says or asks, if you ask someone for a sign that has passed away, what can they give you as a sign? What would be a good sign? Well, I don't feel, Andrea, that there are stock signs that you should ask your loved ones for. We get the classic ones that we see, which are they'll send you a song, they'll send you a penny, they'll make the lights flash. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of those before. But I can tell you that signs could be as unique as your loved one's energy. And if you think about how evidential that could be in itself, if you're grieving, I know the first thing that you want to do, Andrea, is you feel upset, you feel lost, you have a difficulty facing your grief. The next step is you would say, well, so-and-so on the other side, can you send me a penny to let me know you're okay? That can be a response they can do. But I do believe in time they want to make the message more broad and they want to have more of a conversation with you. So my suggestion is that you converse with them. You take moments out of your day when you're feeling strong to put yourself in a daydream-like state and you ask them, have a conversation with them. They can hear, see, and feel you when you send it from within, just like a medium does. I feel everyone can be a personal spirit communicator. You don't have to be a professional medium to hear from your loved one. So take a moment to daydream, bring yourself within, and have a specific thing that you ask them for. Or maybe they might show you something. You're not thinking necessarily of something specific that's connected to them, but it pops in your brain, or you hear it, or you feel it. Take a moment to thank them for that. And then when you're done with that daydream session with them, ask them for that specific sign that they just sent you. And that sign would be unique as your loved one is. So there's no such thing as a good or bad sign. I don't think if you ask for a good sign, it gives you better chances of them sending it to you. I feel the uniqueness of your loved one is something that you can utilize and ask them for, and then they can send you that sign. And then that way, you get the validation that you know your loved ones are with you, and you didn't speak a physical world, a word in the physical world. It was done privately with you and your loved ones. So I hope that makes sense for you. And I want to thank everyone for asking their questions. If you should have further questions for a future program, please feel free to email me at contact@angelinadiana.com. Hey, if you get a chance to check out the new Forever Family Foundation website, you'll find great events that are coming up, informative topics that can help you towards understanding the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. There's a few events going on. If you check out foreverfamilyfoundation.org, the Earth Day Raffle 2014 is up and running. You have an opportunity to win up to 5 mediumship readings. You're never out of chance to win until all 5 winners have been chosen. You can purchase just one $5 chance and be in the running to win. So if you do go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, be sure to check that out. And you don't have to be present to win either. A big event that's coming up this summer is Transforming Grief, Building a Bridge Between Two Worlds. It's Friday, July 25th at 4 p.m. to Sunday, July 27th. It's the very special all-inclusive weekend of like-minded people, experienced facilitators together to share, learn, and explore and discover. It's held in a beautiful, intimate center. And it's a retreat that features small breakout sessions and general presentation. It's really a beautiful event. I've only heard great things about it. I know last year's retreat was absolutely beautiful. And if you'd like more information on that, please go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org for more information. So what we're going to do now is take a very short break, and when we come back, we'll be speaking to this week's guest, Police Chief John LaCrosse, an officer with a very interesting message. I hope you can stay with us.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparizetti.com. That's drparizetti in one word, .com.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. I'm your host for this week's program, Angelina Diana. And just a quick programming note, next week's Signs of Life program will be The Gathering, hosted by Bob and Fran Ginsberg with Melissa and Tom Gould. The topic is a very interesting one. It's real dreams versus real dream visits. So be certain to tune into that next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, our guest for the hour is a police chief in Barrington, Rhode Island, but he doesn't quite fit the mold of someone who's been in law enforcement for 35 years. He brings mindfulness and meditation to the police department and practices yoga daily. He has led large-scale group meditations for MAD and encourages people in a meditative state to embrace their deceased loved ones as they come to visit. He did lose his brother to suicide 35 years ago, which opened him up to disciplines of study as he contemplated whether we survive physical death. I'd like to welcome Chief of Police of Barrington, Rhode Island, John LaCrosse. Good evening, John. How are you?
Good evening, Angelina. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I want to tell you, I know you think I have an accent, but I absolutely love your accent. I just want to say
yeah.
that to you.
I've been told it's before wonderful. I have a New York accent.
It's really
coming from Rhode Island. I don't know where I got it, but
It's interesting because my grandmother grew up in Hopedale, Massachusetts. And even though the Massachusetts accent is a little different, it almost shadows the Rhode Island one. It's a little similar. I think it's because it's the eastern part of Massachusetts. And of course, Rhode Island's in the eastern part. Well, it's east to Connecticut. But it's a familiar tone to me. So I really enjoy it. I just have to tell you that. But I really want to welcome you to the program. And I know you have some beautiful things that we can talk to you about with our listeners. But first, I'm really curious, what really drew you to law enforcement?
Well, when I was in high school, the Rhode Island State Police, they have a very nice uniform. It was on David Letterman one time, like the one of the best dress uniforms in the whole country. And, you know, I saw a couple of police state troopers on the highway, and they were helping somebody, and they had the boots and the breeches and the big felt hat, like the Smokey the Bear hat. And I said, you know, someday I want to be a state trooper. You know, and for some reason that just stuck in my head. And, you know, I was in college at the time, and then eventually a new academy came out in Rhode Island, and I applied for it. So eventually I got into it.
That's wonderful. And did you, when you went into law enforcement, was there anything that stood out to you in the beginning that they taught you or that struck a chord with you that was of anything spiritual or of anything
no.
of calming? No?
Just the opposite. They would,
right.
And there was, you know, it was our way or hit the highway. It was, you know, the old-fashioned grab somebody, cuff them, stuff them, put them back at the cruiser. There was really no compassion or, you know, understanding about holistically what everybody's going through in life. And when you stop somebody on the road and give them a speeding ticket, you know, it's very strict guidelines, you know, license and registration, you stop for speeding, have a good day. That is all drive on. And that's what we were taught and trained, you know, as new recruits.
And when did, in your police career, when did the shift happen to you where you felt mindfulness and meditation was an important part of your personal practice?
Well, I think later on. I mean, what happened was I applied for the state police. I left college. I was in my junior year at the University of Rhode Island. So I left college to train for the physical aspects of the academy.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, I didn't get into the academy. I made it all the way to the last interview. I didn't get into the academy. My brother committed suicide, and now I'm out of college, and I'm working in a gas station, emptying gas out of carburetors. So talk about depression.
Right.
A week later, three or four people left the academy, and they called me up as an alternate and asked me if I was still interested. So naturally, I went up there and packed everything up and started the academy a week late.
Wow.
So all through the whole academy, I never told anyone about my brother committing suicide, and so I was handling that grief internally. And then when you would stay at the academy for five, 6 nights in a row, come home half a day on Saturday and Sunday and go back Sunday night, I would just, you know, have a meltdown and cry. And but so I kind of started developing that control and mindfulness to keep everything in perspective during the Sunday night all the way through Saturday at 12 noon.
Right.
But it wasn't really until the end of my state police career that I really got into the spiritual mindset.
And what really prompted that at the end of your career there?
Well, at the end of the career, because with the state police, you naturally keep everything quiet. You wouldn't want to talk about spirituality because it was outside the box, and you know, they weren't open to that type of thing. I mean, it's okay to be religious, but spiritual is, you know, metaphysical. Listening to your loved ones or going to a medium would not be, you know, acceptable.
Sure.
Going to church and praying would be, but so I was going to a medium who started identifying people standing behind me by first name.
Mm-hmm.
So being a state trooper, I'm saying, hey, this is pretty good. This guy's pretty good. And then he started telling me, let me feel your hands. He goes, you have a lot of energy in your hands. Have you ever thought of Reiki? Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't even know what that is. So he explained it to me. And so he said, well, I'm going to have a Reiki beginner's class, Reiki 1. If you're interested, give me your name and number, and then I'll give you a call, and then we'll start. So, make a long story longer.
That's okay.
Was transitioning from state police into this new job as the chief of Barrington.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to see him right after 9/11.
Wow.
And that was September. I gave him my name and number. October went by. November went by. December went by. And my good friend, who I've known since age 13, got shot in a training exercise during a SWAT team practice.
I'm sorry.
And so now I did his eulogy. I transitioned out of state police. The next day I said, Al, if I'm supposed to take Reiki, I need a sign. You know, let me know. The next day in the mail was an envelope from the medium back in September who said Reiki 1 class will be February of 2002.
That's cool.
So I looked up. I said, okay, there's my sign. Thank you. And that's when I really start to open up with the spirituality.
That's beautiful. Now, I'm very curious because you are obviously in tune with your spirituality and in tune with energy. And we'll talk a little bit more shortly about how you help other people see that through their losses. I'm curious if, in retrospect, if you look back when you first started with the state police, if when they were teaching you how to keep your feelings in and how to stay with protocol and not share your emotions, if you had little sparks of a knowing back then that something didn't sit right with you, that you knew psychically maybe that there was something more than being a police officer. It was maybe you should be more mindful. Did something not sit right with you with the protocol of the state police?
Well, you know what happened? That's a good question because, Angelina, what happened was about 3 weeks before the State Police Academy started, I dropped my brother, my older brother, my oldest brother, off at college. And what happened was I get stopped by a local PD officer, mm-hmm. and he stopped me for speeding. And he was like the most obnoxious, rude, degrading, you know, talk down to your type of cop that right. you could ever encounter. And I was so mad, I said, if I ever become a state trooper, I will not treat people like this guy just treated me.
Wow.
And he gave me the ticket. It was $35 or whatever. And so I went into the state police with that openness and that open heart of compassion
right.
because I know how I was mistreated. And then I went through, you know, during that time of being more, I think it's probably innate and within you, but I was more compassionate when I was issuing tickets and explaining things more and and letting people know that, you know, it's not as bad as it looks and you can, you know, go to court and plead the good driving record and stuff. So I was more sympathetic because I was almost like a victim of somebody who was talked down to and you know, just an unprofessional police officer.
Right. Do you feel that some of that is something that might be sent to you to help you get on this path that you are now? Because if you look at your other colleagues, it sounds like from what you're saying, you're really shifting them now to be more compassionate, where when you were going through the academy, there weren't many compassionate police officers. So I'm really curious if now your perspective is that maybe you're being sent on a path much sooner than you knew intellectually, but maybe it's more spiritually you were being sent to do what you're doing today. Does that ever cross your mind?
Yeah, I think everything that happens, and all the listeners out there will probably agree, everything that happens in our lives are lessons. They're lessons for us to learn, and there is really no bad, because out of the bad comes good. And so this traffic stop prior to the state police was actually a beautiful lesson for me to be in touch internally with my compassion for others. So as I went through 23 years of state police work, I would actually talk to people and say, you know, don't treat people like that, you know, especially the younger guys and girls. You know, treat people with respect, treat people with compassion, because this might be their first interaction with you for a traffic stop or for maybe a house break or something. So, you know, that it did open up a connection internally with me that, you know, that I knew that people deserve better than just being being talked down. And believe me, I had officers and troopers with me who dealt with some motorists, and I said, I can't believe you just talked to that person like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, they'd have their reasons why and stuff. So, but I think the more spiritual part of me came out in 2002 when I became the chief in Barrington, mm-hmm. because I started my Reiki practice, and I started Reiki 1, 2, 3, as well as, you know, some Qigong and reconnective healing and some other stuff that I've taken. And so that kind of opens you up more and opens your chakras and your energy,
right.
and you become more compassionate to everyone.
Now, I'm very curious, did you let your colleagues know that you were delving into this metaphysical world, or did you have to keep it to yourself at that point?
You know, that's kind of funny, because the first 2 months I was in Barrington, of course, I keep everything, because I'm the big state trooper coming from the state police to local PD, and, you know, you're not going to tell them you're into Reiki. But the dog officer for Barrington, I was with him because he had a van we were using it to transport some furniture, and I looked down on the floorboards, and there's two books about Reiki. So he sees me looking at the books, and he takes his foot, and he starts to move them under the seat. And he goes, oh, Chief, those are just a couple of books I'm reading. I said, oh, Joe, what's that about, like energy and chakras and healing and stuff? So he looked, goes, oh, how do you know about that? And I said, no, I'm the chief. I know everything, you know. So, but I didn't want to tell him I was, you know, just finished Reiki 1 class. And
right.
I goes, well, I'm taking Reiki 1, and, you know, I think it's pretty interesting. So we started to describe it. So I still kept that a secret until really this article in the Providence Journal came out recently.
Oh, okay,
probably
that long.
Year or so. Yeah.
Wow, that was a long time to do that. Wow.
Well, you know,
go ahead.
I look at it as my own personal life, and you're there as a chief of police. And what I would try to do is in roll call and instill upon the officers that when you go to a scene where somebody's been victimized or the house break and, you know, it's a shambles, you know, be compassionate.
Right.
And so when I started doing that like 4 or 5 years ago, some of the older guys would be like, oh, you know, what's the chief getting soft? Or, you know, because they're old school mentality.
Right.
But more and more residents would send letters thanking the officers for their compassion and their understanding in such a trying time.
So from a personal viewpoint and personal experiences, you kept this quiet on the outside, but on the inside you were filling yourself up with the idea of spirituality and understanding how the body works through chakras. But I'm very curious to find out at what point, I know you became the police chief in 2002 in Barrington, when you started to write your version of what you call the visit, when you were asked to welcome families at a MAD vigil. I'm kind of curious when that, because that would have obviously been a very public thing that you started to do for them. So at what point did you start sharing your idea of compassion and visits from your loved ones in a public way to MAD vigils? When did that start?
I think that was it. And probably December of 2006 is when I first started, you know, coming out of the spiritual closet, as you would say, because it happened in Barrington, where Mothers Against Drunk Driving was coming in to hold their vigil.
Right.
And they asked me to do some opening remarks. And as I sat at my desk at the police station, I'm thinking, you know, what am I going to say about statistics and drunk driving? And I'm like, you know, these people are here to grieve and honor the loved ones who died in as a result of drunk driver crashes, you know, people who are drunk and hit them and kill them. So they don't want to hear about statistics. I'm going to do a meditation that's guided to connect them to their loved ones so they can see them for the first time or since the death and listen to them, see their face, see them smiling, and what words do they have to share with each other.
That is so beautiful. Now, I mean, it's beautiful, and everyone, I think, has the ability to do that, but I'm thinking about your background. I'm thinking about the state police. I'm thinking about now that you're chief. What was the switch for you within to give you the strength to be able to present this? Because I think your practice, I'm suspecting your practice in Reiki and your practice with meditation spoke to you in such a way that it gave you the strength to do that. But I'm hoping you could break it down for people listening now? Because from a layperson's viewpoint, we're thinking of this, you know, this police chief sitting behind the desk, thinking about what he's going to be saying to Mothers Against Drunk Driving vigil. And you think about, you know, the cap you have on, the uniform you have on, and something within you said, nope, I'm not going to do what they expect. What was it? Can you share what clicked for you inside and what made you strong to be able to do that?
The click inside was my brother. There was just this feeling that I was being moved by him to put these words to paper instead of statistics of drunk driving.
Wow.
Because in September, 3 months early, September of 2006, that's when I met Maureen Hancock from Massachusetts at a spiritual thing. I was learning how to, you know, it's like a spiritual conference. And she, during lunch, came into this room of all 80 people and started describing my brother to a T. And how old he was, and he died. Oh, my God, he committed suicide. Oh, he hung himself. And she went on, and she's meandering through these tables, and she's walking towards me, and I almost raised my hand because she kept saying, anybody here know of this person? And somebody else distracted her, and she got sidetracked, so I had to wait for this class to be over. I almost ran at 5 o'clock to see her. And she says, okay, one more person. And she looked, she goes, okay, you. She pointed at me, and she goes, without saying anything, it was your brother, wasn't it? And I said, yes. And this is something that she was going over like 3 hours earlier. And she said, John, he is with you. He's on your shoulder. His energy is so powerful. It's pushing me back. He's proud of you for everything you do with your spiritual path. He goes, she says, do you do like energy work? I said, yes, I do Reiki. He sees what you do. He's with you. He's like your guardian angel. So being a cop and being cocky, I say, well, you got everything about him, how old he was when he died, how he committed suicide. Can you give me his name?
Wow.
So Maureen she takes a deep breath, closes her eyes, puts her hand on my shoulder, takes a deep breath and says, it's a J name, Joseph. I said, yeah, we call him Joey. So she puts a hand up for a high five. I put my hand up. She slaps me, high five. She goes, I love this stuff. And she gives me a big hug. She said, never doubt it. He is with you all the time. So that was a catalyst that made me go home, talk to my mother, get a picture of my brother Joey. You know, because being suicide, everything's kind of taboo. Got his picture, laminated it, put it in the police cruiser, put it at my office at work. And 3 months later, the MAD conference came in, and that's when I decided to do a guided meditation.
And so that's a beautiful story, and it shows us that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and they are guiding us and still connected to us. I'm curious if you could share where or what you, in a nutshell, what you share at this MAD vigil. You put them in actually in a meditative state? Do you take them through a meditation?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, Angelina, what I do, you know, all these state troopers who I work with for 23 years, they're in the front and some police chiefs and all these people. So I told the in the auditorium, the guy who controlled the lights, I said, when I go to speak, put the lights down and put this music on.
Okay.
And so the lights are going down and people are like, hey, the chief can't see. He can't see his speech. So I'm like, no, I'm okay. Then they hear this music and they're like, well, wait, turn that music off. He's got to talk, you know. And I said, no, the music's okay. And so I'll tell them to sit in the chair, put everything on the floor, turn your cell phones to vibrate, and relax, and put your feet flat on the floor, put your hands on your thighs, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. And I say we're going to do a little exercise for the next 8 to 10 minutes, and I'm going to reconnect you to your loved ones who have passed. So what I'll do is, you know, go step by step mm-hmm. as their eyes are closed and the music is playing, and I'll say, in your mind, in the darkness of your mind, see a bright light coming from the ceiling down to the floor and walk towards the white light. And I'll pause. You'll hear your footsteps as you walk closer and closer to the light. As you get closer to the light, within the light, there is a person. As you get closer to the light, that person is your loved one who has passed over. See their smile, see their face, see them looking at you. Now enter the light and greet your loved one. Give them a hug. Hold them. Bring them closer. Tell them you love them. Tell them you miss them. It's a lot slower, but that's basically what happens.
Well, I think that's a very helpful tool you give them, because they can take that with them and utilize it to stay connected or to have visits with their loved one. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, that's exactly what it is at the end of the visit, because I'll say, what is your loved one saying to you? Do they want you to release your pain, your sorrow, your anger, any guilt? And then at the end of the visit, just know that your loved one is always with you, and you can visit them anytime you want by simply closing your eyes and thinking of them.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You know, they're always with you in your heart. So people were emotional, and you know, people were crying, and the executive director came back to the podium, and her lower jaw was like shaking, and she couldn't even talk on the microphone, and she goes, "Where the heck did that come from?" You know.
Wow, that's beautiful. We're speaking with Police Chief John LaCrosse. He's a chief of the police department in Barrington, Rhode Island. My name is Angelina Diana. You're listening to Signs of Life Radio Light. What we're going to do now is take a short break. We'll be back shortly, and I hope you stay with us.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, my name is Lauren Halpern, and I'm a Reiki master. I enjoy bringing peace and inspiration to people. I conduct healing circles with inspiration, meditation, and Reiki at different community developments, religious institutions, and many other locations. People react so wonderfully to my events. For more information, please contact me, Reiki Touch by Lauren at 954-464-0087. That's 954-464-0087, or email me at laurenhalpern@gmail.com. laurenhalpern@gmail.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio Light, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. I'm your host, Angelina Diana, and we've been chatting with Police Chief John LaCrosse. He's a chief of the Barrington, Rhode Island Department. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm chuckling a little bit because we had a very interesting talk. Do you want to share off air? Do you want to share the little story about you visiting the oncology department at the hospital?
Part of having this internal calling to help others, and especially being a Reiki practitioner now, and so I volunteered at the Women's and Infants Hospital in Rhode Island. It's a whole big volunteer practice you have to go through and take a test, and you know, have a whole bunch of shots, and they do a background on you. So then you get a ID card. So I go into the fourth floor oncology section where all the women are in there with some type of, post-pregnancy issue or cancer or something. So I'm providing like 20-minute Reiki sessions. And so the nurses will line up different people who want to have Reiki done during the night, and they have to fill out all these forms. So after about the second month, one of the nurses comes up to me and she says, are you into law enforcement? I said, well, into law enforcement or working in law enforcement? She goes, well, working. Are you a cop? I said, yes, I am. She goes, are you the Barrington police chief? I said, yes, I am. She goes, oh, my God. So from that point on, they started calling me Reiki cop. So whenever I'd come in to do, you know, Reiki on the different patients, oh, Reiki cop's here, you know.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so it was. So I thought if I ever write a book, it's going to be called Reiki Cop.
That's neat.
Yeah.
What is your hope, Chief? That in the work that you do as an officer and a chief, and also being an energy worker, what is your hope or your dream that you could bring to the police department? What is your hope?
Well, I think first of all, you can call me John because
I feel.
You know, I've been in law enforcement so long that some people get hung up on the titles and the badge and, you know, they look like all the stars on their shoulders. For me, you know, It is a title cheat, but I prefer John.
And
what I hope is I someday will teach a curriculum called holistic policing, or something to do with the whole package of being a police officer, and that means, you know, being a good police officer, staying safe, you know, protecting yourself against some of these people who can try to shoot you and hurt you, but also being that other side of compassion, understanding, and sympathy, empathy towards your customers, who are the people in your community, and that mm-hmm. builds a better, you know, community relationship when you start doing that, instead of being just a tough, rough, you know, put the handcuffs on them and throw them in the cruiser, bring them back to the station. So eventually I hope to maybe get out of law enforcement, but develop a curriculum in holistic policing.
And it's beautiful. And how do you feel what you've learned, what could you share with our listening audience that can help them or aid them in their journey with dealing with grief?
Well, that's a good question, because grief, everybody handles grief differently, and everybody, you know, men handle it differently than women handle it, because guys like to fix things and not talk about it, and they have, you know, no emotions, or they do, but they don't want to show it, and it's, you just have to understand that everybody has their own way of grieving, and that grieving will always be there. It's just how you manage it. You know, most people think after 5 weeks your bereavement's over, but that's really not the case, because if you lose somebody and you love somebody, that love will always be there until the rest of your life. It's just about how do you manage it every day so it doesn't, you know, eat away at you, so you can function properly, get out of bed, do your job. And the only thing I can say is, and being a cop who likes everything scientific and likes facts and likes to be proven, you know, prove to me that this is happening.
Right.
And in 35 years, I think I've heard enough from different mediums that my brother and other loved ones, just not my brother Joey, they're alive. And there really is no death. And that's mm-hmm. a tough thing to say, because physically your loved one is not here with us or with
right.
you. But spiritually, in energy of that loved one who died has gone into another realm and can see us and can hear our prayers, can hear us talking to them. And there's just too many things that have happened in my life that I know that this is true without a scientific picture or proof or whatever. So I'll say to the people who are grieving the loss of their loved ones, to pray to them, talk to them, carry photographs around of them, happy pictures. I went to one office in Providence. The secretary of this chief had a picture of her son, and it looked so sad and looked so depressing. And she told me the story. He died of cancer. Oh, I said, can I give you some advice? She said, what's that? I said, change that picture of something of your son smiling and laughing and being happy. And so she said, why? I said, because that picture is of him being sad. She changed it, and she called me up. She said, I can't believe how enlightened I am now. When I sit at my desk and I look at that picture, I'm always smiling.
Aw,
so,
that's sweet.
You know, it just changed her whole mindset. So I say, if you're having trouble with grief, the listeners out there, talk to your loved ones. You know, hold a picture close to your hand or in your heart. Look at them. Say prayers to them. Ask them for guidance. Ask them for signs. Ask them something that you would, you know, see or know that they're alive and well. And then be open to those signs that maybe come in through the mail, or you see something on a billboard or a bumper sticker in front of you, that your loved one is actually, you know, sending you a message or communicating with you.
Mm, very beautiful.
And I always believe, Angelina, that this little phrase, if you don't believe, you won't receive.
Wow,
so
that's
beautiful.
If you don't
believe in signs, if you really don't believe in signs, you'll never receive them. But if you're open to them, then you will receive them. And your loved one, like my brother and another three or four other people I can name, if you talk to them and ask, then they will send something to you. And then they're really never dead. They're just different right now. Their soul is different. It's in another dimension. Their physical body is like a lease car. It's no longer. But their soul and energy lives on. And we can still have that interaction.
It's very beautiful. I'm just curious, in the time that we have left, I know that you are a student of yoga, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel yoga has helped you gain a deeper understanding of your spirituality? And how do you feel that maybe do you think it may open up a portal or help those in grief contact their loved ones?
I don't know about contacting their loved ones, but it definitely makes me feel relaxed. And they call this thing Shavasana, where you just kind of meditate. Mm-hmm. And at that time is when you really, your whole body is just, you know, maybe exhausted from the practice of yoga, but you can really just kind of just float outside and even connect to your loved one. For me, I think where I connect to my brother or loved ones is when I sit, in an area where I have designated as a meditation area with a couple candles and a couple pictures of my loved ones, and I put the lights down low, and I'll just practice breathing, you know, in through your nose, like a count of three or four, like one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, exhale, you know, in mm-hmm. and out, and just concentrating on the breath. And then you almost like, you say to yourself, am I hearing these things, or is this my loved one talking to me? You know, you
right.
almost second guess yourself, but then, you know, write it down if you think it's a message.
Right.
But I think, you know, for yoga, it's probably towards the end of the practice that I feel more connected to spirituality instead of the hard, like, different, you know, positions and stuff. But
right.
When I meditate is when I usually get the most calmness and silence and connectivity.
That's wonderful. Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing your experience, and also thank you for not only the work that you do in law enforcement, but thank you for honoring your spirit and sharing it through your work of law enforcement. I think it speaks loudly, and I know it's touched a lot of people, and I want to thank you so much for sharing your journey with us here on Signs of Life Radio.
Well, I thank you for inviting me, and I give gratitude. And that's the last thing I'll say to your readers, your listeners, I should say.
Yes.
Give gratitude every day.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, try to come up with at least two or three things you give gratitude for, and more abundance will come into your life.
Wow, if only every police officer could speak like that.
I know,
really. Thank you for doing the work that you do, and it's been such an honor to speak to you this hour. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you. Have a good night. And I want to thank everyone so much for listening to Signs of Life Radio Light. I've been your host, Angelina Diana. I want you to take an opportunity, as John said, to find some things that you feel grateful for, one or two things, and keep them in your head and keep them in your heart. I also want to remind you that the next program, next Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, you could be joined with Signs of Life Radio, The Gathering. They'll be talking about dreams or dreams with visits. What's the difference? I certainly hope you can join them, and I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. And remember that your loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and someday science is going to prove it. Have a good night, everyone.